Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's a gorilla of destiny, a Bullet Club OG, continuing on the legacy of the most feared name in all of wrestling. From Tonga to Japan to America, you are now entering Tama's Island. With your host, the babyface heel, Tama Tonga.
Alrighty, folks. Before we get things started, before I bring on John and Karen to talk about this week in wrestling, we need to address the elephant in the room. There are two elephants in the room. The first elephant in the room is that obviously Tama Tonga is not with us this week on Tama's Island. We are working on getting a hold of Tama. He has been, if you watched Impact No Surrender, you know that Tama suffered a betrayal, both personal and professional, this past weekend when Jay White, Chris Bay, joined forces with Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, the Good Brothers, seemingly creating either a schism in Bullet Club or outright kicking Tama out of Bullet Club, if you believe Jay White's words. And also Tama has the New Japan Cup coming up, so he's got a lot on his plate right now. We would love him to be on Tama's Island. We will get him back eventually, but right now he's on a much bigger mission. I even texted him and he just responded, those motherfuckers. Like, he's very singular. He's very focused right now on the fact on he's looking for revenge. If you've been looking at his Twitter, revenge is his main focus right now. And you know, we're gonna dig through the rubble with a fine tooth comb, put some pieces together, and try and figure some stuff out here on this week's Tama's Island. Like I said, we've got John and we've got Karen with us this week, and so if you're gonna stay with us to talk about this week in wrestling, welcome back. If you are waiting for Tama, I totally understand, but we have
so are we.
Yeah, I was going to say, but we have a lot to talk about this week.
But he texted you back.
Yeah, he texted me back. But again, it was just those motherfuckers. He's focused on Jay White. He's focused on Carl. Okay. If you watched this week's New Year's Golden Series on New Japan, it looks like there's a lot of confusion in the Japanese Bullet Club locker room. So there's a lot to sift through.
There's confusion here, man.
I was gonna get to that. Because usually,
me, man, I thought we were boys. Say, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
No one knows what's going on. Everything's up in the air right now. Everything's very confusing, but we have but it's Tuesday. It's 6:30. We don't go live because we know what's going on. We go live because it's Tuesday. It's 6:30. And so we are live on twitch.tv/Thomas Island. As always, I am your host, Ross W. Berman IV, the culture vulture, the folk city hustler, the dirtbag disruptor, your certified lover boy, the Thane of Fife. I am whatever you need me to be this week, but this week specifically, I am here holding down the island while Tama is off in the wilderness looking for revenge. This week, we have with us, as always, dressed in the colors of Los Ingobernables de Japón, we got John. John, how are you this fine, this weird as fuck? I almost call it a fine Tuesday. It's not. It's a weird as fuck Tuesday. How are you this Tuesday?
Doesn't fine mean fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional? So
you're all right.
I'm feeling fine too. Yeah. I heard Bullet Club is fine.
Oh no.
No, God, not this again.
I'm just hedging my bets, man. I felt like ever since Tom and I became friends, you know, I always felt like if I ever got in a fight, I'd have G-O-D on my back, you know. I got a big mouth, I get in a lot of fights with people. But now I haven't heard from Thomas since No Surrender. So, like I said, I'm just hedging my bets here, my dude.
No, look, it's and at the end of the day, no matter what happens with Bullet Club, Thomas Island will always be Thomas Island.
Do we work for Jay White now? What the hell's that?
No, we don't work for Jay White. We don't work for Jay White. We don't work for Bullet Club. We work for Tama. And so where Tama goes, Thomas Island is going to go, and that's a promise.
I got abandonment issues, and I'm just a little worried.
It's fine. Like I said, we're gonna dig through the rubble. We're gonna figure out what the hell is going on over the next few weeks until we can actually get a hold of Tama, until we can get Tama on the island. We're gonna keep bringing back Thomas Island subscribers from the Patreon. Head on over to patreon.com/Thomas Island. Our Islanders tier subscribers were in. We had a watch along that was going on in No Surrender. It was supposed to be a big celebration party for Tama winning the Impact Tag Titles and getting some revenge on the Good Brothers.
And you jinxed them.
No, it very quickly turned into an Irish wake. It ended up being one of those things where it was still upbeat, but very funereal, very mourning. It was weird and it was sad. But I do need to bring on the third person who is joining us this week on Thomas Island. Welcome back, Karen. Karen, how are you on this fucked up Tuesday?
Oh, well, you know, I am the Thomas Island sage with the rage. I'm the sensei with bills to pay. I am the unofficial, very frustrated, very tired homeroom teacher of Bullet Club. I'm your girl. I'm here. Yep. But whoo, Bubby, the Oni sensei, the demon teacher, she might come out to play tonight.
It got so weird. We had to call an adult.
Yeah, no, like that's the... it's definitely going to be... It's going to be a weird, weird Tuesday here on Thomas Island. Like I said, at No Surrender on Saturday in New Orleans, Louisiana, Jay White hit Tama Tonga with the switch with the Blade Runner, costing him the Impact Tag Titles. Chris Bay was also involved in the attack. The Good Brothers two suited with Bay and Jay White after the assault. Jay White is now running around on Twitter saying that he's kicked Tama out of Bullet Club. Here's the thing, and it's about Jay White, because you know there is an old saying that when you know you start like a relationship with someone out of infidelity, if they can cheat on their old partner, they can cheat on you. And Jay White, he came into New Japan fresh from Excursion. It seemed like he was joining Bullet Club. He turned his back on Bullet Club, joined Chaos. Things were seemingly going great with Chaos, and then he turned his back on Chaos, joined Bullet Club, joined Tama. Things seemed to be going well, and now Jay White has once again turned his back on someone close to him, turned his back on Tama, turned his back on Tongaloa, and it's starting to feel like a pattern now. Like I said, there was lots of confusion during this weekend's New Year's Golden Series on New Japan World. Seems like the Japanese Bullet Club is a little confused by everything that's going on. It seems like there's a lot of chaos, no pun intended. But yeah, Jay White, once again, a traitor. He's been a traitor before, and he's a traitor again. He'd commit treason against his own self if he got the opportunity. But let's throw it around the horn, Karen. What did you think of the betrayal and the confusion following the Rubicon being crossed?
Now, I'm not going to say I told you so, because we've had this conversation. The man's name is the Switchblade.
Yep.
He's switched sides before, but we've talked about, does Jay White have the interest of Bullet Club or the interest of Jay White? And he made it very clear.
Mm-hmm.
who he's thinking of. And the answer is not Bullet Club.
Well, and here's, and the thing is, because Jay White has said that he's kicked Tama out of Bullet Club. And so it does seem like Jay White believes he's doing this for Bullet Club.
He may believe he's doing that, but if the indication, if he remembers who's been keeping Bullet Club together in Japan, mm-hmm. when he's been in the States for pretty much the larger part of a year, he hasn't been there.
Yeah, well, and
Tama and Tonga Aloha have been there.
Also, Jay White doesn't have the authority, man.
What?
Well,
Evil's the leader of the Bullet Club.
Here's the thing. We're gonna put
that on the side burner for now.
Okay.
But the thing is that there have been people in Japan waving the Bullet Club banner and fighting for Bullet Club, trying to win all the things for Bullet Club. But we've come to this conversation before. What has Jay White done for Bullet Club lately? And kicking out the one person who's kept the ship together, especially in the last 2 years, especially when, you know, travel's difficult and mm-hmm. making sacrifices away from their families. This ain't it. Aligning with Gallows and Anderson, mm-hmm. possibly the Young Bucks, possibly Adam Cole, possibly the Elite. We've got Bootleg Club Vanilla. With a side of Chris Bay.
Ooh, it's an interesting point. Well, cause, and here's the other thing is because as the co-host of Tama's Island, as someone who's talked to Tama on numerous occasions on this very platform about it, he has always been clear. Jay White is the front man of Bullet Club, even when there was a little bit of dissension between House of Torture. Well, yeah, I think everyone that's watching on Twitch right now and listening to this podcast wants to know what he thinks now. But before, he was always very adamant. Jay's the front man. House of Torture is kind of their own thing. But it could be very possible that Jay White felt threatened by the fact that Tama was the one heading to Japan so many times to represent Bullet Club in things like the G1 Climax, where he beat Okada. I mean, that's one of those things that Jay White has always hung his hat on. I beat Tanahashi, I beat Okada, I beat Kenny Omega, and now Tama can also say that he's beaten Okada clean. And so it's very possible that Jay White felt threatened by that and decided to, you know, pull out that Switchblade, because it's like Karen said, his name is the Switchblade, and you can't, I mean, if you've got great aim, you can hurt someone with a Switchblade from far away, but you got to be up close to do damage with that. He's bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Like, it's not, this ain't it, Chief. Yeah.
Well, this but here's, ain't it. here's the thing. It doesn't matter whether you've got a gun, a Switchblade, a flamethrower, whatever, if the person's stabbing you in the back. If you're not aimed at them, it's not going to matter what weapon you've brought to the fight. John, what do you think of all the situations going on right now?
I'm just working out the knife and the gun metaphor in my head, but I think I know what everybody's going for here.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, if I may, Bullet Club in general has become muddled.
Okay.
Quite a bit as a faction. Not only do you have all these splinter groups, but also it's like, it seems like everybody who's in Bullet Club thinks Bullet Club is something else, right?
Yeah.
Because Tama thinks he's got, you know, this whole faction going. He's got the Bullet Club, and it's like, it's about the OGs, and it's about loyalty, it's about respect. And then you get like the Good Brothers, who think it's just about being assholes to everybody. You know, then you got House of Torture, who's doing like, they even got their own name and everything. And like, mm-hmm. it's just, it's what, I mean, what even is it anymore? Except like, you know, a section on pro wrestling tees or on the token store. You know, is it even a faction anymore? Do these dudes even look out for each other except for in their own little splinter groups?
Mm-hmm. It is an interesting question.
I just want to point out how great LIJ is at Chaos and the New Day.
This time next week, me and John are going to be masked up. We're going to have numbers. It's going to be Dark Order all the time. No, I'm kidding. Like I
said, like a podcast, hit me up.
No, like I said, where Tama goes, Tama's Island is going to go as well.
I'm just saying, man. Just, you know,
I get you. No, I get you. This kind of speaks to what a fracture this really is. Because hell, like I said, we had a bunch of the Thomas Island subscribers. Shout out to everyone that hung out on Saturday for No Surrender. And you would have people there who, like, someone had a Thomas Island shirt on and a Good Brothers hat. You had folks that were dressed in Switchblade merch while this was going down. Because as far as the Thomas Island family was concerned, Bullet Club was one big happy family. Yes, maybe some of them are in Japan and some of them are in North America, but everyone was getting along. For lack of a better term, Bullet Club was fine. Then Chris Bay showed up at ringside and Jay White hit the Blade Runner. It all went to shit very quickly for the whole idea of unity, the whole idea of the power of friendship.
I never thought Gary and Kenesha would both be right. Shout out to Thomas Island Patreon.
Exactly. Yes. Uh-huh. No, because this is
the kind of thing. One or the other, right? Because like Gary's like, man, I don't trust Chris Bay. And then like, you know, Kenesha's like, I don't trust Jay White. And now
we both, yes, no, you were spot on. You're spot on. Sometimes everyone can be right. Karen's got her finger up, so I know she wants to chime in. What's on your mind?
If I may. So yeah. It goes back to who recruits who.
Okay.
When Chris Bay was in Impact and Jay White came to Impact, Jay White was the one who recruited Chris Bay. So that alignment does not surprise me.
Okay.
And if you look at Bullet Club proper, you have the people that Tama has brought in. Mm-hmm. He's brought in Kenta. He's brought in Ishimori. Ghetto and Jado, they were a package deal with Jay White. So you know what? Anytime one of them's walking behind someone else, you got to keep your head on a swivel. I was worried about Sunday.
Well, yeah, because
when Jado was walking behind Ishimori, I'm like, this is how it goes down. ELP, we don't know where his loyalties lie, but something's not right there.
Yep. Well, because that, and I was just about to say, because Jado hopped on English commentary with your buddy Kevin Kelly and was like, "What, Jay White? What did he do?" Like, there is some. If even Jado is confused by what Jay White's doing, there's some serious fuckery going on, to be blunt about it. And then also shout out to PhD Bound in the chat, who brings up one glaring omission from Saturday, because it wasn't the entirety of Impact's Bullet Club that attacked Tama. There was one person that wasn't there, Hikuleo. And Hikuleo even, because Hikuleo hopped up on Twitter to say, what the hell is going on? Like, Hikuleo clearly didn't know what's going on, but that's his own.
It's like,
that's family.
Do not put words in my mouth that are not there.
I am not putting anything in your mouth.
All I am saying is that it's not just Tama and Tonga that are kind of confused right now. Hikuleo is, he was kind of recruited by Jay, but at the same time, he's Tama's brother and he was not involved in any way.
I know, but I'm just worried about him being left on his own in this hellscape.
That's what I'm getting to.
Tanahashi will adopt him. Tanahashi loves everybody.
Because Tama and Tongaloa have both been announced for the New Japan Cup. So they are headed to Japan at some point, which means that Hikuleo is stuck in North America with Jay White, with Chris Bay, with Doc Gallows, with Carl Anderson, with whoever the fuck else those guys decide are, you know, on their side. Because, like, hell, if Jay White and the Good Brothers can get along, anyone can get along, as far as I'm concerned.
Hikuleo, if you're having a crisis of faith, please contact Thomas Island immediately.
That's what I'm saying.
We got you. We got you, buddy.
Exactly. We are here for the entire family, not just Tom. We're here for Tongalo. We're here for Hikuleo. We're here for Haku in this just crazy, wild, confusing time.
In these unprecedented yet surprisingly precedented times in Bullet Club. Because we've had this before.
I don't get entirely surprised. Like this is not a normal occurrence.
And that's why I brought up Jay White has done this before. He'll probably do it again because he's Jay White. He would commit treason on his own self if he ever got the chance. He's a traitor through and through.
And he's surprisingly not in the New Japan Cup.
Nope, he's been announced for some dates in March. Like, it seems like he's sticking stateside. That's what I mean by Hikuleo's kind of, if he's not going to Japan, he's kind of off on his own with...
Go to the LA Dojo, Hikuleo. They'll take care of you.
But is that even safe? Because, like, let's be real. Bullet Club
Ren Narita will protect him. I believe in Ren Narita and Yuya Uemura. Those wholesome boys will protect him.
Absolutely. That's fair. That is maybe Shibata. Rocky can protect him at the very least. Rocky can kind of take him.
He'll find himself in chaos and best friends. Don't do that.
Rocky was talking some shit.
Oh, he was. Oh, shit. Never mind.
And Rocky also has the Talking Shop podcast with Gallows and Anderson. Oh, so you got to be careful.
I forgot about that. Never mind. Rocky.
I love Rocky, but.
Hikuleo, stay away from Rocky. Stay away from Rocky.
All right. We need to hook Hikuleo with a spreadsheet. Right, yeah. Like notes and
let me get up a whiteboard, guys. We're gonna need some time.
Yeah, we're gonna by this time next week we'll have a whole presentation set up like when Pro Wrestling Noah does the junior division. We'll make sure to have all of the intricacies and family trees untangled, whether they be blood like Tama, Hikuleo, and Tonga, or whether they be, you know, podcasting families like the Good Brothers and Rocky Romero. Again. Like I said, we don't have a lot of like facts to work on other than the betrayal itself. We've got a lot of haze, we've got a lot of speculation, and we have the biggest New Japan Cup ever coming up. So it feels like there is not going to be a shortage of things to talk about over the next month. But let's talk a little bit more about this Bullet Club schism, because it's like Karen said, Jado was confused. El Phantasmo was a little wary. They were talking about how much confusion there was in the Bullet Club locker room before New Year's Golden Series. I mean, is this where we see House of Torture finally decide to like pop off on their own? Does House of Torture need this drama right now, or are they going to decide to just go their own way? Like, there's a lot of questions that come from this.
I think it also depends on who they all see as the leader.
Yeah.
And who they align themselves with. Because again, when it came to recruiting Evil, Tama gets the credit for recruiting Evil into Bullet Club.
Yep.
And
Tama gets the credit for Show too, I think.
I was getting to that because you know how I feel about that. He gets the credit for scouting out Show.
Yep.
And Yujiro has been in Bullet Club longer than Jay, longer than Chris Bay. But again, Yujiro was also formerly in Chaos. He turned on, and he also turned on Naito way back when. So Yujiro could be the catalyst, but he's also very chill. So I don't think Yujiro is going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And worst case scenario, just make Peter the leader of Bullet Club, because we all know she's the leader anyway. Mm-hmm. So
and hell, while we're talking about family, Bad Luck Fale is one of Tama's cousins. If you are deep into the lore, it turns out those two got revealed to be cousins not long ago. And so it also wonders what happens with Bad Luck Fale. What happens with Chase Owens?
Chase claims that he is an honorary Tongan. So you know what? It's time to pony up or shut up.
There you go.
Kenta, we hope you get healthy soon. But remember who brought you into Bullet Club, and it wasn't Jay White.
Yeah, no, Kenta's allowed to be. Kenta's allowed to be out of it for the moment. He's got a lot of healing to do. He's the one. He's the one guy.
And as a heel, he has a lot of healing to do.
Yeah, he's the one guy who's going to be allowed to come back to all this like Adam Cole on AEW right now, where he's like, "What? I was off doing other stuff. I didn't know.
It's that community meme where he walks in with the pizza and like the whole room's on fire, and he's just like, "What is going on?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's. I mean, hell, that's what we're doing on the podcast right
the
now.
Darkest we're in the darkest timeline, guys.
No, we're just sipping our tea while the room burns down, going, you know, this is fine. This is fine. We can handle this. We'll go wherever Tama goes.
And the other thing is, you have to, like, I, you know, have to remember too. You know, and Tama's going to be in Japan, right, for the Cup.
Yep.
So there'll be a good amount of time where, you know, the cat's away, mice will play. So it don't matter what happens. Like over here, them boys be able to do the fuck they want without any interference.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Karen.
And if I can follow up on that.
Yeah.
Just remember how we talked about Ospreay saying that he was the real champion. He was the real champion. If you're the real leader of Bullet Club, you're not the one standing there saying you're the real leader of Bullet Club. So you know what, Jay White? Just chew on that for a little bit.
And
the other thing is that alliances, if you're truly someone's in a line with someone, you don't have to demand loyalty out of them. Mm-hmm. Those who are loyal will be loyal.
Well, but and it, I don't even know if loyalty matters to Jay White, because like, here's the this feels all very Stalin-esque. It's like, because at the end of the day, Tama was never one to be like, Jay's not real. Like, yes, he has often told Jay that he needs to step up, but he has never done it in a way that I think impedes on Jay White's leadership. Like, Tama has always been behind Jay as the front man. He was in fact, if you go back to the archives of this podcast, he's one of the most loyal supporters of the idea that Jay White was, you know, the front man. We have to get behind that. If you don't, that's your problem. And so the fact that Jay White is going to come after someone who was this, you know, loyal to his leadership, that was going to, you know, toe the line the way that he has over the past year, 2 years, that shows me that you could be the most loyal motherfucker in Bullet, in this new version of Bullet Club. Jay's not going to care. It's still all going to be about sending that message that, you know, he's the strong man. He's the toughest one. And if he needs to prove it, boom, you disappear.
I mean, one way that Tama could remedy this, provided how things go in the New Japan Cup for everyone, there is a show in Tampa on the 20th of March. Depending on how everyone fares in their first and second rounds, he could come with a whole slew of people.
Oh, he is going to be trailing vengeance behind him. Fire and brimstone.
He's turned to 35 and he is hot.
Yeah.
Angry. So, you know, if Jay White wants to bring the fight to Tama, let's go. Let's effing go.
Well, and this is also a good transition to talking about this year's New Japan Cup format, because Tama's not in the first round of the New Japan Cup. He received a first round bye. He's going to be in the second round, which means he's going to have a lot of time just kind of stew and get real mad and think about everything that's gone down over the past, since this weekend. And so he's going to be coming out of that quarantine like a house on fire. He's going to be riding a pale horse named Death. It's going to be wild. But it's that waiting that I think is going to be torture. It's just gonna be real hard, because it's the largest New Japan Cup ever. We have 48 participants. If I'm not mistaken, it's like 20 something folks in the first round, and the second round is another 17 getting added on to that. It is a ridiculous looking bracket if you've seen it. Not a lot of surprises. Much like Wrestle Kingdom, the lone outsider surprise this year is Shima. From Gleet, formerly from Dragon Gate. He's representing Strong Hearts. In fact, all of Strong Hearts are going to be wrestling on the 50th anniversary show. But it is a big-ass tournament. Kota Ibushi's coming back. He's already said on his Instagram he's not at 100%. His shoulders look different. I'm going to throw to John first. What do you kind of think of this year's New Japan Cup lineup?
I'm stuck on his shoulders look different.
They do. No, like he's still healing, man.
I've seen people like that where that's you could tell, like they're kind of, yeah. Anyway, I don't know. They got a lot to go through. That's a big bracket.
Yeah.
And not just in quantity, but in talent, right? I mean, this is kind of serious. Plus Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa again, doing their own thing. It might be interesting to see how they fare. Kind of curious to see if either of them at ringside, because also we know them as G.O.D., but I'm wondering if they can kind of be their own solo acts without getting involved in each other's matches.
I'm glad you brought that up, because Tonga Loa is already kind of he's already been calling out EC3 and his whole Control Your Narrative promotion on Twitter. Like, look, I finally get it now that he's been betrayed by Jay White and by the Good Brothers.
That video is so lame, man.
But it still shows that drive that Tonga Loa is looking to, he's looking to shape himself. He's looking to strike out on his own. If he's talking to EC3, if he's talking to the Control Your Narrative folks.
I think they're both good enough competitors that they can remain a tag team as G.O.D. but also have the respect to let the other kind of do their thing without making it look like they need each other to.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like I said earlier in the podcast, Tama beat Okada in the G1. I mean,
that he ever wins not clean.
No, but that it does add something to the fact that he didn't need any shenanigans to beat Okada. He beat Okada straight on in the mat, 1-2-3. And it, you know, if I had beaten Okada, which I'm never going to do, I have a neck made of graham cracker.
Attitude, you're not.
Yeah, I would also think to myself, you know what? I need to see. who I can be on my own, especially when you've, I mean, it's like he said on the podcast a number of times, he's done everything there is to do in tag team wrestling, from World Tag League to the tag championships to the six man belts. And so this is definitely a place to break out on your own. The New Japan Cup is a good time to do that. Karen, what do you kind of think of this year's lineup? It's loaded.
Okay, so I'm going to fangirl for a moment because there is Tanahashi versus Io.
Yep.
There is Hiromu versus Sho.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner of Taguchi versus Evil gets Tama in the second round. Now, I am hoping that Tama is in the chat and or listening to this episode, because I'm going to remind him that he needs to be G1 Tama Tonga. Mm-hmm. And remember that Evil schooled him a little bit, because they started out fighting clean, but then Evil's like, you know what? I'm going to do what I got to do to win this whole thing. So same thing with Tongaloa. He had a great G1. He was very humble. He worked very hard and it showed. But whatever rage they're feeling, channel that in the right way. Mm-hmm. Cheat if you have to. But.
Oh, Karen, look at you.
But I know that I told you the
cool
demon
Karen coming out here.
Demon, the ice cold heart of ice queen is coming out.
I like how you're hardcore is cheat if you have to.
If you have again, homeroom teacher, everybody gets a gold star for participation.
Look, but demon mode is still demon mode.
Demon mode is demon mode. And the thing is that while you're in Japan, start paying attention to even the littlest of things, especially with not just when they're around you, but when people are acting backstage or people are in their matches, especially the people in Bullet Club and House of Torture, because you know I love them both.
Yep.
But the thing is that part of me is just like, as much as I want Evil versus Tama Part 2, part of me wants to see Tama and how he can fare against
Taguchi.
International butt wrestling sensation, Ryusuke Taguchi.
Look, if anyone can handle that legendary pervert, it's Tama. But I'm with you. I kind of hope that it's going to be Tama versus Evil. Simply, I think you're right. I think Tama needs to remember that he's, you know, for lack of a better term, him and Bullet Club are the ones that taught Evil to rely on so much outside interference. And so you got to keep the eyes in the back of your head, knowing that
and to lean into the name Evil.
Exactly. And so shout out to Sandman 1469 in the chat. Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat.
I want to point out, you said that if he's in the chat or if he's listening. Also, Tama, if you're listening, hit me up, because I'm just trying to find out, like, do I need to watch my back? Are they coming after the podcast? Like, you know,
they're not coming after us.
No, we're safe
Rocky
on an island.
Rocky might be mad at me, but that's about it.
But I've said some pretty mean shit about Jay White, and I just, you know.
This is why we made it an island.
I mean,
this is why it's an
you're
island.
Closer to Tampa than I am, John, so that's on you, bro.
Because Jay White can't swim, right?
I'm up in my ivory tower in Chicago. Yeah, I'm safe from all of us. Y'all are the ones down on the battleground.
Windy City Riot's coming up at Rossmere, just so we're
clear.
Oh,
they're gonna be in Villa Park. I'll be fine.
I'm sleeping, you know, like my eyes open, man.
Yep.
You better.
All right. Well, I think I'd like to see Tama and Evil, but only out of the morbid curiosity of like, are they gonna like be cool?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's only for the pure chaos reasons of like, look, if we can't have Tama on the island to get the answers, I want those answers in the ring, and so Evil versus Tama is gonna get some of those answers. So I'm hoping for that. But like I said, it's a big lineup. Kota Ibushi is back. He's not 100%, and his first opponent is the Great Okan.
Ooh, good luck, son.
Yeah, so to kind of pivot into that discussion, I'm just gonna call it now. If it's not gonna be Tama winning the New Japan Cup, I'm putting my money on Great Okan, because Great
Okan, Jeff Cobb.
Maybe Jeff Cobb, but Great Okan's been having a hell of a golden series, just beating former champion after former champion. The important thing is he keeps fighting different styles of opponents and just matching their style. Like, you apparently can't out-wrestle this guy. You can't come up with a new way to defeat him. He has everything clocked, despite the fact that I think he's, like, my age. He really has been showing some spectacular fire, and I gotta believe Kota Ibushi's gonna be scared. I gotta believe it's gonna be a hard first round for the Golden Star. I'm gonna throw to you, Karen, first. Who do you think outside? Because like it's Thomas Island. I think we all think Thomas should win the New Japan Cup. I think it would be good vindication for Bullet Club. But if it's not Tama, who you calling?
I mean, Great O'Karn's a great shout, but after we're going back to the G1. I either want it to be Zack Sabre Jr. or Jeff Cobb.
Ooh, yeah, they both
because they both if neither of them win the New Japan Cup, one of them has to at least go to the final of the G1 this year, if not win it, because both of them have had a spec, and they are two others, even though there are other factions that have stayed in Japan that have helped keep this company afloat. And I want nothing but the best things for them, but they also deserve single titles that are outside of the Rev Pro UK title and the Never Openweight title.
I completely agree with you. If neither Jeff Cobb or Zack Sabre Jr. are headed to the finals, I gotta hope one of them is headed to that United States title picture, especially now that we've got a new champion in Sonata. We'll talk more about that in a second. But John, who do you kind of think is winning the New Japan Cup, Tama or? That's how I'm phrasing this right now, I'm making Tama the number one choice right now because he's in the New Japan Cup. He's coming in like a house of fire. I wouldn't want to face him in this year's New Japan Cup.
Nope.
Tama or Tongaloa.
Tama or Tongaloa. I like that.
Where do they fall in the brackets with each other?
They're both they both have first round byes.
But are they on the same side of the bracket?
Let me pull up that bracket because it is confusing as hell.
Yes, it is.
Like if anyone has ever seen the movie Basketball, it seems like they're running.
That's a great show.
They're running the New Japan Cup similar to the basketball playoffs. But
I found some of the first round buys to be a little suspicious. Like, don't get me wrong.
Kosei Fujita needs to recover from being trapped in a dog cage with Minoru Suzuki. Need a few weeks
off.
Well,
my son Fujita, 2022's most beloved young lion son, deserves a first round bye for being in that cage. However, Ghetto does not need a first round bye.
Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair. Here, I am listening. I'm combing through this weird ass bracket to figure out. Okay.
Getting breaking news.
I found Tama on the bracket and I found, okay. So basically Tama and Tonga, if they go undefeated, will still have to meet in what looks like the quarterfinals. They're brother versus brother. Yeah. They're relatively close enough in the bracket that they would be clashing in the quarterfinals or
them. That's just what they need.
Mm-hmm.
As if the relationship wasn't complicated enough, and we're talking about a clean break, an amicable break. Do we go with Roppongi 3K breakup, Tama and Tonga, or do we go with best friends Rocky Romero and Trent Barreto?
I'm hoping for the
latter, not the former.
Exactly.
I don't even want to put that out in the universe.
I don't either, because like the one silver lining, the smallest sliver of a silver lining. the sliveriest sliver of a silver lining to this was the fact that Tama and Tonga got attacked at the same time. So I at least know that they're on the same side. For now, exactly. Like there could be a lot more going on, but he's at least got one person trauma bonded to him from this betrayal, and so I am hoping will keep the GOD partnership strong through thick and through thin, because like I said, they may have to come to blows in the New Japan Cup. We don't know what's going on. We're just trying to figure it the hell out. Like I said, though, the New Japan Cup, not the only big thing going on in New Japan right now. We have a couple of new champions in New Japan. First of all, we have finally crowned the 69th IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Ryusuke Taguchi fulfilled his destiny once again. He is 69th IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion alongside Master Wato, which I could not be more thrilled that we live in an age where both Yoshihashi and Master Wato are tag champions. They both have belts. Like it, I kept kind of saying up until Naito lost to Okada in the main event that like this weekend was for the Freak Brigade. This weekend was for the people that like we have been waking up at 4 a.m. for the past like 5 years waiting for Sonata to have his moment, and Sonata finally had his freaking moment. He won the IWGP United States Championship against Hiroshi Tanahashi in the main event of the first night. You're fine. It didn't make too much of a noise. He pinned the ace in the Aces' first defense of the belt. And it just feels like a long time coming. I had even talked very fatalistically about Sonata heading into this. I said that if he doesn't win this title, he's, I don't know what, he can't spell his name in caps anymore. Like, he really, he was going, he was on a downward trend throughout since he lost the 2020 G1 Climax final. And I'm glad to finally see him back on the upswing. I got to throw to Karen because she has been a Cold Skull fan from the beginning of this podcast. I gotta know how you feel about this Saturday. Was it? Yeah, Saturday's big match.
As a longtime Sonata fan, Sonata Hives, everyone, it is Sonata season. We have waited a long, arduous 6 years for him to have an IWGP singles title. Mm-hmm. And I am over the moon for him. We've waited. We've seen him be like in the finals of the G1. We've seen him in the finals of the New Japan Cup. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and people of all orientations, it is Sonata's season. And I know he's in the New Japan Cup, and he's right now with travel and everything, he can't really come to the States. However, New Japan, please consider sending our IWGP US Heavyweight President to all the shows coming up, especially in Chicago and Orlando. I mean, not Orlando, Tampa. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. You're right, though. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And finally, here comes the bride, Sonata, wearing that United States title. John, what do you think of our new president of America? What do you think of our new king of America?
Do I have to pay him taxes?
No, nope. he's a king.
Tax free.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. That's the thing. I've seen a lot of people saying he's the president of America, but I as much as I love Sonata, if you've listened to this podcast, you've been to the Happy Hours. I am a Sonata defender. He was not elected. He won the title in combat. That makes him more of a king. But hey, I'll take it.
But he's a pirate, so it's more of a captain thing.
The pirate king Sonata. There you go. The pirate king of the United States. I like the sound of that.
Well, now I can get behind him. See?
Yeah. See?
Yeah. It's more of a rock and roll samurai thing these days, but Disney Pirate Prince say a Sonata, not mad at it.
Exactly. The samurai king of America. I don't know. I can Don Draper the shit out of this. We'll make it work.
He's cool. Like I'm a big fan. It's better than most of the other options, so.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Look, I'm happy for the guy. I'm very happy for the guy. I'm happy for Wado. Happy for Yoshihashi. Hell, I'm happy for Okada. He's going to be going into that 50th anniversary show as the champion. He's going to be, as Antonio Inoki was the face of the first 50 years, Okada's going to be the face of the next 50 years. I mean, let's be real. That shadow's going to be, even when Okada retires, he's going to be casting a long-ass shadow over the main event scene in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And the 50th anniversary, kind of taken a break from tradition. We have saved the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion versus IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion match for the first round of the New Japan Cup. Okada's going to be facing Desperado in the first round of the New Japan Cup. And instead, the main event of this year's 50th anniversary show, get fucking ready for this. You're going to have Kazuchika Okada, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and the Dragon Tatsumi Fujinami returning to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And they're going to be taking on a super group, because we have Suzuki Guns, if I'm not mistaken, Zack Sabre Jr. and Minoru Suzuki. And then from Sugiura Gun, we have Yoshiaki Fujiwara, the inventor, if I'm not mistaken, the inventor of the Fujiwara armbar, a legendary submission wrestler, a damn fine teammate for Suzuki-gun, and it also means that we get the Suzuki-gun, Sugiura-gun supergroup. But, I mean, this is a big show. Not only is Fujinami and Fujiwara coming back, we're also getting Minoru Tanaka, we're also getting Shiro Koshinaka, the first IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. And like I said, Stronghearts are going to be on the show as well, representing Gleet. Shout out to the Gleet promotion that had a pretty good show this morning. It looks like it's going to be a real celebration. Karen, what did you think of the 50th anniversary lineup?
Well, I am a little frustrated because I usually always enjoyed the IWGP champion versus the junior heavyweight champion format. We're kind of getting that with the tag titles instead this year. So yep. It's going to be for all, as you talked earlier, all the freaks and geeks that were like the pandemic crew of the year. It's going to be Goto and Yoshihashi against Taguchi and Wato.
Oh, the Island instead. Of Misfit Toys.
And I'm not mad at it. I'm happy. And I'm also glad that they're bringing in some very big names for the 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. As much as I would love to see Desperado and Okada New Japan Cup, it's going to be great anyway.
Yeah, as long as we're still getting that match, that's the important
as long
thing.
As we're getting it. And I know at some point, a lot of people really wanted Hiromu versus Naito in the New Japan Cup. I don't know how that falls in the brackets, but that could be the possibility because we still haven't had that match.
Let me look at the brackets. We might be getting. Let me find Hiromu.
But him and Sho are near the top, I think, near Okada.
Yeah, it would
top
have to
left maybe.
Yeah, from what it looks like, I found Hiromu because he's in the first round there, and then it would have to be in the finals. It looks like
okay, but it's one of those things where it's just like there are. I know the New Japan Cup and the anniversary show announcements aren't what everyone expected.
Well,
but the one thing that we have to keep in mind is that it is their golden anniversary, and they're trying to do as much as they can. With the parameters of the fact that they can't bring in new talent with visas, they have to use what they have.
Yeah. And like, it also,
we joked around the G1 being the good enough one because that's all we have right now. Yep. But it's one of those things where it's try to give them, like, let them slide a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, I know there was the expectation that there would be more other promotions getting involved, but that could be other events in the future for the rest of the year. We're only in February.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, we've already gotten one cross-promotional event in the New Japan versus Noah show. If backstage reports are to be believed, it was a clusterfuck. So, like, I don't want a multi-promotion tournament right now. I think there would be too many countouts. But at the end of the day, I think they've done a good job of, A, making the New Japan Cup about the present, because it's literally just the whole roster, save for some of the New Japan Strong folks. Taking on, you know, deciding who is the true best in New Japan. And there's a lot of history on this 50th anniversary show. Like I said, multi-time IWGP Heavyweight Champion Tatsumi Fujinami, inventor of the Fujiwara armbar Yoshiaki Fujiwara. You've got the first IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. And then if you want to look into the future, El Desperado has been calling out everyone that's not in New Japan to challenge for this Junior Heavyweight title. And now he's in a six-man tag match against Sima, El Lindemann, and T-Hawk. And so, I'm pretty sure two or at least all three of those have been name dropped by Desperado at some point. And so it's possible one of them slides into contention for the junior heavyweight title. I don't know, but there are a lot of interesting things that can
come out
of
the Super Juniors could get really interesting if they get very creative. I'm just saying.
You read my mind. And also,
if they do like a Super J Cup tournament, like I like that they stressed that this New Japan Cup was more of an open weight. Kind of like how the New Japan Cup USA last year was an open weight. So it gives, like, they're like, oh, there's juniors and young lions, but that also gives the opportunity for some of our questionably more thicker junior heavyweights, such as Hiromu and Desperado, that should be fighting open weight anyway.
Yep.
That they have, quote unquote, a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm excited. I'm not going to say this now. I'm not wrecking my sleep schedule for it.
Okay. That's fair. I will
pour my coffee at 5:30 a.m. and I will watch it at a respectable hour.
Ross calls
it. I am old.
Security. That's job security for Ross.
No, exactly. Yeah, like the way I've always put it, I had a running joke when I first started covering the G1 that the G1 is very long and life is short. So I'll watch it so that people can decide for themselves. And that's how I'm treating this year's New Japan Cup. Like, it's going to be a long tournament. I will have all the results over at WrestleZone. So if you want to protect your peace and protect your sleep schedule, I got y'all covered, folks. Like I said, mandatory.com/WrestleZone. We'll have all of the New Japan coverage there. And also we'll be talking about it here on the island, whether it be with Tama or without Tama. Like I said, he's got revenge on the mind. He's got bigger fish to fry than sitting with us and chatting about whether or not the Queen of England has COVID. But before we get to the Queen of England and all of the confusion over there, let's talk some more about wrestling. Let's bring it over to North America, because over here in America, there's also been a lot of stuff going on. It is so much wrestling, so much craziness, so much Cody Rhodes. It's really just, it's a lot of Cody Rhodes rumors. Every day he gets spotted at a new airport, whether it be in Poland, whether it be in LA, it's all Cody all the time. And when Cody's not on TV, people are saying his catchphrases to remind you that he's going to be on TV.
I think he's sending body doubles to airports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
No, how do you get around the neck tattoo?
There you go. He's got some dedicated
transfer, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing the Saddam Hussein. Rub on. He's doing the Saddam Hussein thing. He's paying everyone to get plastic surgery and
no.
get the tattoo and all that kind of stuff. He was spotted in a Polish airport that turned out to be fake. He's been spotted anywhere and everywhere. They're seeing him in the faces of smiling babies. They're seeing him in fresh flowers.
There's a lot of blonde people with neck tattoos in Poland, guys. Don't just think all.
Yeah,
and Orlando. Yeah, we haven't seen anything in Orlando yet.
Yeah, Eastern Europe, kind of the neck tattoo center of the world.
I've seen Triple X.
Yeah, no, half of my people are from Eastern Europe. I have to routinely cover up the neck tattoo that's just been growing on my neck since I turned 18. But no, enough about Eastern Europe. Enough about neck tattoos. Cody Rhodes sounds like he's going to the WWE. WWE sure is using a lot of Cody Rhodes phrases on their television, and all of the sudden, it's been announced Brock Lesnar is going to be defending his WWE Championship in Madison Square Garden against Bobby Lashley, who, as reports have said, is going to be out with shoulder is currently injured, dealing with a shoulder injury that's going to keep him out for a number of months. Paul Heyman has said that if Lashley isn't cleared to compete, Lesnar will still be defending the title anyway. I should also point out that this March 5th date that Madison Square Garden, that WWE is running at Madison Square Garden, is the night before AEW Revolution on March 6th. And so I'm just going to throw it out into the ether here. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar the night before Revolution. Is this the coup that WWE has set for us? John immediately chuckled and put his hand on his fist. So I want to throw to you first. What do you think of my ridiculous theory?
Again, as always, Ross, it's not that you're not crazy. You're just not wrong. Man, I gotta tell you, that makes a lot of sense.
Right? Because they keep teasing, like the Miz was teasing he was supposed to have a tag team partner. Turned out to be Logan Paul.
And so, also
Jake Paul? Logan Paul.
No, no,
Paul,
Logan. It was Logan Paul. Yeah, no, Jake. Jake Paul's got his own thing.
Everybody was confused, by the way. Like the whole Raw hashtag was all like half of them were saying Jake Paul and the other half were saying Logan Paul. Yep.
They're brothers. It happens.
Yeah. Well, you know. But anyway, so the whole going back to the Cody Rhodes thing and like them name dropping, even Edge, dropped a little Cody Rhodes. I mean, he did. He dropped like six hints.
Yeah,
of different people, but one of them was most definitely Cody Rhodes. Now, granted, this could just be that they're very self-aware and they know that people think he's going to show up and da da da. So, you know, of course, they're going to troll everybody. Mm-hmm. But I got a feeling you're right, Ross. It makes too much sense, man.
The way it keeps getting pitched is that Cody got something he just can't turn down. And main eventing Madison Square Garden is something that I know Cody Rhodes can't turn down, because at the end of the day, he gave up Madison Square Garden to found this company. Like, the entire reason All Elite Wrestling exists is because Ring of Honor got big enough that Ring of Honor and New Japan could run a show at Madison Square Garden off the backs of the Elite. So the Elite decided, fuck it, we're going to go form our own company. They now sold out, you know, Arthur Ashe Stadium in Queens, but Queens is not Manhattan.
No.
And I think, and any New Yorker will tell you, there is a difference between Queens and Manhattan. There's a difference between...
A huge difference.
There's a huge difference between Arthur Ashe Stadium and Madison Square Garden. And if Cody Rhodes has the opportunity to main event Madison Square Garden for WWE, which, let's face it, that was the whole reason he left in the first place. I'm gonna take y'all on a history lesson. A long time ago, Cody Rhodes, who was Stardust at the time, showed up to, I believe it was the Greensboro Coliseum, and WWE didn't have anything for him. And he was like, how do you not have anything for the son of Dusty Rhodes in the Greensboro Coliseum? And so he handed in his papers and said, fuck it, I'm gone. And he left. And now, if WWE, again, this is speculation, but if WWE is offering him Madison Square Garden, that's a much bigger deal than Stardust. That's a much bigger deal than, you know, the TNT Championship. That is, I mean, that's the, I know this term gets thrown around in a pejorative and ironic sense. That's the brass ring, main event in Madison Square Garden against Brock Lesnar.
You said brass ring, man.
I did, because fuck it. What else is that? What else can you call it? That's the, I mean, that's Madison Square Garden.
I really hate the fact that you're just making points, man, and I'm trying to find reasons for you to be wrong, and I just it's not happening for me.
Mm-hmm. Because then you also have the, because here's the thing, I don't think Rhodes is going to beat Lesnar, but I also think Cody Rhodes is smart enough to know that main eventing Madison Square Garden, even if it's a loss, is better than any win, period. Especially if it's for the WWE title. Like, it's not like he's getting sacrificed to Madcap Moss. No offense to Madcap Moss, but I mean, this is Brock.
It's his, also it's his kind of, it's not that he's new, but they're just, it's just a little early for them to even begin to think about that kind of situation. It's got to be somebody, also it's Brock, right? So anybody you put up against him is going to be kind of a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Even by being, I mean, at least as far as their standards go, by being in the ring with him, you know, it's really a good one, man. I think.
Well, and I do want to address a lot of the people in the chat. They're like, well, what sense does it make for Cody Rhodes to come in and lose his first match? A lot of guys have lost their first match in WWE. You know who lost their first match in WWE? Here, you want to know?
Yeah,
AJ Styles lost his first match in WWE, the Royal Rumble. And now he's just signed on and he just signed another close to $3 million a year deal with the company, multi-time WWE champion.
You know who who's going to lose their first match because they're going to have to eat crow because they came back after being a big old asshole about leaving? Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing, is I think he can make a compelling story about, oh, I left everything, came back and lost. I need to come back for, you know, like he can make that comeback story if he needs to.
Losing to Lesnar is not a it's not jobbing, it's not a death sentence. No. You know, losing to Lesnar is a big deal. He's the fucking beast.
Mm-hmm.
Like anybody, he beat the streak. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so when you lose to the guy who beat the streak, it's like, I mean, everybody gets it. It's like, yeah, no, man, I get it. It's fucking Lesnar, he's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And I also see people in the chat being like, well, but he's the EVP of a company. And no, first of all, he's not anymore. Second of all, it sounds like even when he was the EVP, Tony Khan was taking privileges away from him left and right. So like by the time he left, this is not Eric Bischoff jumping to Raw and beating Triple H. This is just straight up, I don't know how to put this. It's a wrestler. He was a wrestler by the time he left AEW. He may have had a reality show. He may have had a title, but he was a wrestler. Sure, go ahead, Karen. I'm sorry, I've been rambling.
No, you're fine. It's one of those things where there was the discussion about with all the talent they were bringing in from former WWE talent, bringing in CM Punk, bringing Bryan Danielson in, and then they start doing the cost analysis of these executive vice presidents. If AEW, no matter how much money they have at their disposal, wasn't willing to renew his contract or pay him what he's worth, and an offer comes across his table, so what? He main events Madison Square Garden and he loses, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But if his bills are paid And he's being paid what he's worth or what he thinks he's worth, especially if Brandy is not going with him, because that's also been the discussion that the conversation was about him going to WWE and not necessarily her as well.
Yep.
But it's one of those things where if he plays the system right and he gets to go walk into the main event of Madison Square Garden, I hate to say it, WWE is petty enough to do this the night before AEW's biggest pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And they've done petty shit before.
They made their name on petty shit. I mean, they literally, WWF was built off of raiding territories for their stars and putting them
and
sometimes
buying
on
companies
TV
and closing them down.
Sometimes just putting them on house shows, because that's the other thing, is this is a house show. It might not even be a televised loss to Brock. It will just be one of those things that means you have to go see a live event because you never know who's going to show up.
We talked about this last time or the time before. I don't know. It all blends together. That's the point, is to sell these live events. Big things have to happen every once in a while so that people go, oh shit, anything can happen, especially. And oh, we were talking about tapings, because SmackDown was pre-taped and a title changed hands because they don't want you to look at the pre-tape and go, oh, I'm not going because fuck it. Like, you know, nothing's going to happen. So obviously.
No, exactly. And just to kind of jump on that, like, it does feel like, what was I gonna say? Oh, there's an old story about I believe it was one of the territories, I can't remember which, but there's an old saying that if you want to fuck over someone in the wrestling business, you don't fuck them over, you book them and then you fuck them over. And I could see Vince McMahon going to Cody Rhodes being like, yeah, pal, we're going to give you all the power you want. You're going to have your say. You're going to be, I mean, it's still going to have to go. It's still going to have to go through me. It's still going to have to go through me, but you can bring whatever you want to me. And then Cody gets there and he has half the power they promised him. Not even that, because fuck him, because he left. I can see this being a petty fuck you to Tony Khan doing it the night before his pay-per-view, and a petty fuck you to Cody Rhodes. Like, I'm not, WWE makes, quite frankly, too much money that they don't have to give a shit about whether or not they throw some money at Cody Rhodes just to make him look like shit. Like, that's the full and the long and the short of it. And if they do end up televising it, Peacock will be happy. Go ahead, Karen.
The other thing that I was thinking of is that if it's not Madison Square Garden, there is the possibility of, I don't know if he'll be healthy, excuse me, healthy by then. But at some point, there has to be the Triple H versus Cody Rhodes showdown somewhere, whether it's WrestleMania or if Cody wants that creative control and that ability to produce. After, since they've gutted NXT, you could easily slot him in there if he's not going to be an in-ring talent, if they've gotten him for the production side of it, because for all of my naysaying about AEW, he did a lot of great things with his own little like subdivision within AEW. And a lot of it was bringing a bunch of unknown or relatively unfamiliar faces onto national television and making stars out of them.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. He has a training school. I mean, he's still going to be working with the Nightmare Factory. He's still a teacher, and he's been, if AEW's record over the past few years speaks for itself, he's a very good teacher. A lot of their stars came from Cody and from QT. And so if WWE isn't going to get petty with this, if they actually are going to give him a chance, putting him down in developmental could be a great idea. Because if it is just Bruce Pritchard and HBK down there, like, running NXT, Bruce is tired, because Bruce is also doing the main roster. Bruce has got the podcast. Bruce is overworked. They need to bring in someone to work with Shawn Michaels. I think
especially
Cody
if
Rhodes
Hunter can't come back anytime soon.
Exactly, and I think Cody Rhodes would be perfect for that. There's a lot WWE can do with him. And like we said last week on the podcast, Cody Rhodes, when he was in WWE, got Arrow. When he was in AEW, he got the Go Big show. He got a reality show that's been canceled. Like, AEW wasn't the gateway to Hollywood that I think he thought it was going to be. It was a great gateway to the boardroom. It was a great way to meet a lot of executives. But I think he knows going back to WWE, he can get that acting career back on track. He can get that.
He saw Warner Media at the top of the masthead of TNT, and then went, oh yeah. And when Warner Media went, we don't know what AEW is. They just kind of, you know, because they were talking about doing all these crossover things with all their shows. Barely like a fraction of that shit actually happened. And And I think when Cody saw that happening, I mean, and I don't want to obviously put thoughts in his head as if, like, I know what he's thinking. If it was me, and that's one of the reasons why I went over, I would be thinking about all the people who actually hooked me up, funnily enough, with Warner Media properties like Arrow.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it does, it has always kind of read like TNT and TBS are very happy. Warner Media is still like, we'll put Rugs to the Top on HBO Max, but mainly because it's now in syndication, because we're not making new episodes. We need to monetize it. And so it does feel like there is, yeah, it just feels like he can't be the public persona he wants to be in AEW.
They made Righteous Gemstones, and spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't watched season two, but it's not really a spoiler, there's wrestlers involved.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single AEW person or talent is there. In but like, how? Even GLOW had real, you know, wrestlers in it.
So are they working? I'm behind on Righteous Gemstones. So have they brought in like independent wrestlers, or is it actors playing wrestlers?
I think it's actors, because I remember seeing somebody posted the casting, and it just said like the wrestling, like wrestler type wrestling fans.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't want to spoil anything for the show for people.
No, you're fine. Yeah, no, I just wanted to make sure before we start calling any like independent wrestlers who are just working hard to get those SAG credits. Let's just say
the important part was there was no AEW talent.
Yeah. No, and that again, it outside of like that one time everyone wore Rick and Morty masks, they don't really have a lot of crossover. And that was in the very early days. But From what it sounds like, AEW is in a place that they can survive without Cody Rhodes. It sounds like Cody Rhodes is in a place where he can survive without AEW. And so we just get to enjoy the wrestling world like fans in the late 90s, watching people jump ship and figure out where they're going. Hell, can you imagine if MJF joins Cody Rhodes in a couple of years? It could get wild. It could be so crazy.
I mean, it could happen soon, right? I mean,
man, I'm still trying to get answers from Tama. I don't even know what's going on in AEW right now. It definitely is a wild.
Man, we're just looking out in the cold here, my dude. What's going on?
I will actually find myself at AEW Revolution.
Oh,
a friend of mine has an extra ticket, and I was like, you know, it's in Orlando, and I was like, I don't know if I want to go. But then I'm like, I just realized I had never seen CM Punk wrestle live.
There you go.
And as we've talked before, I said I would go to AEW if Hangman Page was the champion, and he's still the champion right now.
Yep.
So I'm going to go see some cowboy shit.
You're a man about a horse.
I don't know if they'll be able to bring it into the venue at UCF, but.
No, I don't think they're allowed to work. Work with the horse since they split off the stage?
Oh no! Yeah,
no, haven't. They've done very little animal stuff in AEW since.
That's fine.
Yeah, no, as they should be. Hell, they were scaring Pharaoh, let alone the horses they rented. But no, yeah, it does sound like Revolution's going to be a hell of a card, especially if they have to respond to Cody Rhodes wrestling the night before.
Do you think any of the Bullet Club situations going to spill over to AEW now?
Yeah, I think this whole Jay White, Adam Cole thing, especially now that Jay White has sided with the Good Brothers, who were kind of AEW adjacent side characters last year. And now that Kenny Omega's injured, they need a new reason to bring the Good Brothers back onto AEW television. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if Jay White has Don Callis by his side at some point. Like just the way everything's going, anything can happen. But yeah, it's gonna be a dog collar match. It's gonna be a wild time. You're gonna get to see CM Punk live. I also thought I'd never seen CM Punk wrestle live until I found out that he did a run in under a hood at an independent show I went to once. Shout out to Freelance Wrestling. They had CM Punk show up once, without anybody, without even, I guess, the wrestlers in the match even knowing. It gets wild in Chicago, baby. But speaking of wild, it was trending on Twitter today. We've been talking a lot about it on the podcast. The hell is going on with the Queen of England? You see, we have been talking about the fact that the Queen of England has been brought out of the public eye, so to speak, since about November, it seems. And they were going to, like, she's transitioning into a new phase. You'll see her final form in, like, I guess February or March or something like that. Well, now we're here in February. All we've heard so far are reports that, like, people keep hearing the Queen saying from behind closed doors, "I can't move real well these days, but I'm here, definitely here." Now you've got apparently news that she has contracted a mild case of COVID. So shout out to the queen. Hope she recovers from that. But it just seems like I would not want to work for Buckingham Palace right now. Like, it was straight up trending on Twitter today. The queen has died. And then under it said, the queen has not died, but it's still trending on Twitter for some reason. Imagine if you...
And a bunch of people, by the way, started changing their profile picture to BBC, to the BBC logo.
No!
And their Twitter name, and then they posted it. And every time I scrolled through, it was like, oh, there we go. Oh, nope. Oh, there we go. Oh, nope.
If you're a Thomas podcast listener, don't do that. Don't be that person. Yeah. Because that is horrible. No. Because that karma will come back to you at some point.
Yeah, no. As a bastard relative of Queen Elizabeth II, please don't fake her death online. Please don't impersonate the BBC. I don't think it's a crime.
I was just going to say, I mean, they're a government owned, right? So is that a crime to impersonate the BBC?
Possibly.
Especially when you get the queen involved, because like this was going to be my point. There's a very long, complicated process in announcing the queen's death. And so like if there isn't even smoke that they've started step one, that queen is still alive or
at the very least. We know that she has connections, and you definitely don't want to piss those people off. So
no, absolutely, absolutely not. You don't want to piss off the royals, even in 2022.
You don't want to think you're being cute on the internet, and then next thing you know, James fucking Bond shows up at your door.
Yeah, because they have those. Sometimes
they have MI6. It's a real thing.
Yeah, sometimes their name is Roald Dahl. Sometimes their name is Christopher Lee. But either way, they've got those people. They will.
They've got the Kingsman.
Yep.
I mean,
I watched that movie.
shout out to the Kingsman, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen that I didn't know I needed.
Everybody they've knighted has to fight on behalf of the queen. So
it's true.
Elton John, Patrick Stewart.
Ding.
Oh, no. Paul McCartney's going to be coming at you with a harmonium. Like,
all you need is love. No, not right now, Paul.
No, he's going to pull out some tricks he learned from John Lennon when it comes to the queen. Hell, he wrote a whole song about her. Her Majesty's a very fine girl. What else? But I had to address it because it was trending, and we've been doing this Queen Watch bit for long enough that like I had to bring it up. And like I said, I'm related to her, so technically it's technically my family we're talking about, even if my whatever relative revoked her duchesshood or whatever.
So I'm still in the mindset that she's turning into Voltron made out of corgis. It's corgis and whiskey. That's what's keeping her going.
That's what I thought when they were like, yeah, the queen's gonna be in her final form. I'm like, oh, she's like Frieza. She's gonna become a mech. She's gonna have a robot suit. She's gonna have like that RoboCop like visor on. RoboQueen.
What's that one cartoon character where it's like a brain in a jar, like on a robot? I think Futurama. Like I'm not.
Yeah. No, I know she's going to turn into Nixon from Futurama, where she's just a head. She's a head in a jar on the body of a drunken robot.
I think she actually does have. There's actually a version of her in that show where she's in the head in the jar.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put that in the universe.
We're gonna have a Robo Queen. Well, we're not gonna have a Robo Queen. We've got a Cold Skull King over here in North America, but over in Britain, they're gonna have a Robo Queen.
Shout out to Futurama, who wants to reboot without John DiMaggio, and it's stupid.
Oh boy, we'll get into that on a different episode because I got a whole hour to talk about the Futurama reboot. But we have been talking at length on this week's Thomas Island. Like I said, we will be back next week with more to talk about. If you're an Islander, we'll be cutting it up in happy hour this weekend, trying to figure out what the hell is going on in Thomas Island and Bullet Club and all
Maybe
of
somebody
the...
Somebody there will know.
You know, it's entirely possible. I still think it's possible Sam knows more than he's telling us. There's a whole lot of subscribers that I'm like, I think you're clued in.
Yeah, shout out, by the way, to the only source of information I trust, Ross W. Berman, and also Sam.
The fourth.
Thomas Island.
Ross W. Berman IV. Yes, that's very important.
We did not have a seance to contact the previous iterations of Ross Berman.
Yep. Shout out to my high school principal for just going with it when I told him that was my name. It's been my name ever since. But anyway, we will be talking more. Like I said, we're going to be bringing on those Thomas Island subscribers to kind of talk more about what's been going on, get their reactions, because until we can get a hold of Tama, we need to keep producing podcasts and we need to keep producing content. So we are going to
get those analytics up.
Yeah, we're gonna be chopping it up. Like I said, it'll be like this week. We'll probably start off with reactions to whatever new ass development has happened on social media or on television or however is we are gonna be learning more about the betrayal of GOD. But until then, John, where can people find you if you want them to find you?
Well, until I hear from Tama hiding.
hiding in your undisclosed bunker. Yeah
Let's see. Well, y'all can find me on linktree.com/johnsebastian, johnsebastian, and also on Twitter under the same name, John Sebastian. Come find me, but don't find me just on social media, please. Thank you.
Hell yeah. And Karen, where can people find you if you want them to find you?
Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube at Hey Karen Sensei. I also do Stardom coverage for Post Wrestling. Tonight, I will be up very, 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 very late for a Stardom Cinderella Journey, which is their next pay-per-view, and that report will go up tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
Please don't Jay and Silent Bob me and like show up at my front door. I'd rather that not happen. But yeah, if you see me at a show, say hi. Lead with your name and your social media handle. That helps me out. And so I'm like, you're Bob 532 Thomas Island. Okay, great. But tell me what you want me to call you. Tell me your pronouns. Have a great day.
Indeed. And yeah, shout out to Karen. She's been doing great Stardom coverage, especially with the breaking news that Kairi Sane has returned to Stardom. And not only has she returned to Stardom, she took a move from WWE's playbook, dropped her last name, and she's just Kairi now. So shout out
like
to
Cher, all caps. Yep.
Shout out to Kairi in Stardom. She's put on a bit more muscle, and so like I'm scared for every Stardom woman that is going to be crossing her path over the next like forever, I guess, because like it's not like she's going to be slowing down. But yeah,
she's not contracted, so she's just keep in mind she's a freelancer.
Oh,
she could show up anywhere.
Hell yeah, I'm ready for the summer of Kairi and the summer of Tama. And like I said, if you want to find me, I'm at Ross W. Berman IV on Twitter, Ross Berman IV on Instagram, rossberman.bandcamp for all of your folk blues and rhythm and blues needs. I'm going to be releasing an album soon called I'm Your Lover Man. It's an album of gospel songs. I'm preaching the gospel of peace, love, and fucking it all up. It's gonna be a raucous time. I'm excited. It's a raucous album full of Puritan music. You can find the podcast at Thomas Island on Instagram and on Twitter, and obviously twitch.tv/Thomas Island if you want to watch us record it live every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Head over to patreon.com/Thomas Island and join that Islander tier if you want to join us in happy hour, or hell, if you want to come on the podcast and tell us what the hell you think of everything that's been going on, because that's where we're going to be grabbing our guests until Tama finally surfaces with the head of Jay White or Chris Bay or whoever he scalps to get some revenge.
Yeah, I don't want to say we're the
just not show or evil. Leave show and evil and Yujiro out of this. And
he is going to Japan. I'm just saying.
Oh God, don't even.
I'm sorry.
You leave my House of Torture boys alone.
I'm just here to drop the chaos grenade. I'm sorry. Jerk. Go ahead.
You jerk.
I was gonna say, come hang out, and also, you know, if you have any idea what the fuck's going on, you know, you just let
hit us up. Let us know.
Listen, I'm not shy. Just twit me or whatever it's called. And you know,
like I said, we gotta keep podcasting, so we'll take unverified stuff. Just throw us your scoops if you see
conspiracy link tweets. We'll just like run through them all.
If you see Tama in a Polish airport, let us know. Anyway, this has been Thomas Island this week. We'll be back next week. Until then, please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and enjoy your week, folks. I almost threw up the too sweet to say goodbye. I caught myself.
Oh, no.
I know. I've got a lot to unlearn over the next week.
You got a new one, like a palm tree. Like this is like an island with a palm tree on it.
I'm just gonna throw up the West Side Crips right now. I don't know. I don't know who to.
Wait, what side of Chicago are you on?
I'm on the North Side. I'm fine. I don't think we have Crips. Anyway, this has
been
Thomas.
Find out.
I'm about to find out. That's for sure. All right, folks. Take care. Enjoy your week, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this week's Thomas Island. Find more great Thomas Island content like the Shotgun series, weekly happy hour Zoom calls with Tama, video versions of the podcast, and much, much more at patreon.com/Thomas Island.
and visit at Thomas Island on Instagram and Twitter.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.